holding in Brachos, page Pei Beis, fifth line. Page Pei Beis in Brachos. We started learning yesterday about the various things where when you see a place where a nes happened for the Jewish people, then you say the Bracha Baruch Shas and Nes Lavasena B'Makam Hazeh. By the way, the post can point out that Tosfos actually is the first one to point this out, that it applies not only when it was a nes for the whole Jewish people, but also when it was somebody distinguished within the Jewish people. An example, I think Tosfos quotes, I think from the Yerushalmi, that an example would be a place where a nes happened to Yoav ben Tsruya, let's say, that you would also make a bracha on that, even though he's not the whole Jewish people, but he's a distinguished person within the Jewish people. Also, by the way, to correct something I said yesterday, I'd said that we learned in the Gemara that if there's a place where a nes happened to an individual, then he says a bracha whenever he's in that place, and his descendants also. So I'd mentioned that only his sons and his grandsons do. Actually, Al Tzvi mentions in Hilchos Birkas Hanin, say to Birkas Hanin, that no, all of his descendants for all time say the bracha when they come to that place. Also, Baruch Shas and Nes, Lavasenim, B'Makom Hazeh. Every time, if they haven't been there within 30 days. In general, most Birkas Ari'iyah, you only say them if you haven't seen the thing in 30 days. That's the case with Kvarim. That's the case with the sea. When you say Baruch Shah, I say Yamagadol and so forth. In general, you don't unless you haven't seen it within 30 days. Most of the poskim say that, yes, you say the Shem Hashem. So you have a place where a nest happened to your ancestor. And essentially, if it weren't for that nest, you wouldn't be here. Then you say a Baruch on it, yeah. So we were in the middle of listing a bunch of places where Nisim happened to the Jewish people. The last one we discussed was the rock that Oig was going to throw on Jewish people, and we went on that in great detail. So now the Gemara continues, fifth line of page Pei Beis. The Evan Sheyoshev Aleha Moshe. Another one is the stone that Moshe sat on during the war against Amalek. Dichtiv, Videi Moshe Kvedim, as the pasuk says, Moshe's hands were heavy. Vayikhu Evan Vayasimu Sachdav, they took a stone and put it underneath him, Vayeshev Aleha, and he sat on it. And there he was davening on behalf of the Jewish people, and they were able to defeat Amalek. So therefore, that's a place where a nes happened, and therefore we make the bracha Baruch Shas and Nes Lavasenim B'Makom Hazeh if you see that place. The Ishtei Shaloit, also if you see Loit's wife, who turned into a pillar of salt. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, "Vatabet ishte me'achrav." His wife looked behind him when they were running away from Stoim. Vatihi nitziv melach, and she became a pillar of salt. So that's a nes. The Gemara is going to say soon that you wouldn't say Baruch Sha'asa nes nisim la'vaseinu b'makom hazeh because it's a punishment. Actually, all the other ones are nisim for the good. This one is not. So we'll get back to that in a minute. And Choymas Yericho Shenivla, where do we find about the wall of Yericho sinking into the ground, Bimkoima in its place, as the Pasuk says, the wall fell in underneath it, in its place. In other words, as the Gemara is going to say soon, not that it fell over, but rather that it sank into the ground. And now the Jewish people are able to enter the city and conquer it. So the Gemara says, Bishlema Kulun Nisa. Now, everything else that we listed is a nest over there, is a nest that happened, and therefore it's appropriate to say, Sha'os and Nisim Lavisenu Bamakam Hazeh. El Ishte Shaloit Puronusihi. Isn't the wife of Loit turning into a pillar of salt? Isn't that a punishment? Why are we thanking Hashem for a nest that happened? The answer is Dama Baruch Dynamis. The answer is, you're right. You don't say the Bracha Sha'os and Nisim Lavisenu Bamakam Hazeh. But rather, you would say the bracha Baruch Dayana Emes. Actually, the Mishnah Berurah comments on that. He says, usually you say Dayana Emes only for something that bothers you, something that you're very sad about. Why are we sad about that Loit's wife, who herself was a Rishas, she was one of the women of Sdoim. We know the famous thing, she was cheap with giving salt to the guests, and that's why she ended up getting turned into a pillar of salt. Why are we so sad about her that we say Dayana Emes? So he says, maybe the vote is, in other words, that we're saying, even though, as the Gemara is going to say now, Loit himself was saved not in his own schus, but only in Avram Avinu's schus, but the Midas Adin there was so strong that it couldn't even save her, so therefore we have reason to have a tsar over that, that the Midas Adin was so powerful at that point. So the Gemara asks, v'ha'hoidah v'shevach katani. What do you mean, though? The Braisa says, all of these things, if you see them, then you thank and praise Hashem. So fine, Dayana Emes is praising Hashem, but it's not thanking Hashem. So how is that? So what does that mean? So Tony, so in fact, we learn in a Braisa, Al Loit Val Ishte Mevorchen Stein. As a matter of fact, you make two brachas regarding Loit and his wife. Which means, by the way, Eitz Yosef brings from the Beis Yosef. It doesn't mean two different things in two different places. It's not when you see Lloyd's Kaver versus when you see the pillar of salt that his wife became, because there's nothing, even if we knew where Lloyd's Kaver was, and I don't know if anybody knows nowadays anyway, but even if we did, there's nothing distinguishable about it that a nest happened there. So we're talking about when you see Lloyd's wife, then right on the spot, you say two brachas. So for the wife who turned into a pillar of salt, you say Dina Emes, that Hashem is the true judge, that he judged her fairly. And then also you say a bracha for the fact that Hashem saved Loit, you say a bracha that Hashem remembers the tzaddik. Which means, in other words, so we're not saying it about, in other words, Maharsha says, usually we say Baruch Shah and Misim Lamasen and Bamacham Azeh. Here, it's not that Loit himself deserved the nest. He was a Rasha. He was only saved in the schos of Avraham. So therefore, so we make it, instead of the bracha, we can't say sha'asen nisim la'abisenu b'makam azeh, especially because Loit is not abisenu. What it means is, we're saying that Hashem is so good that even that Hashem allows the tzaddik schos, Avraham Avinu's schos, to save even other people who otherwise wouldn't deserve it, namely Loit. So therefore, we say a special bracha for that, that Hashem remembers the tzaddik. Marshall mentions in this connection, we have the idea, the Medrash says that Hashem's Midas Adin, Hashem's Midas Adin turns into Midas Arachmim in the Schos of the Tzadik. That's why the Pasuk says, Vayhi b'shachas elikim as orei akikor, Vayizkor elikim as Avraham, even though elikim is Midas Adin, it means that Hashem's Midas Adin was turned into Rachmim on Loit for the sake of Avraham. So that's what we mean. So that's what we mean, that you say Hodah b'shevach. So you do actually thank and praise Hashem for remembering the tzaddikim even in a time like that. But then you also say Dina Emes again, that this Rachmanus of Hashem didn't extend as far as Loit's wife. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So in this connection, Rabbi Yochanan says, "Afilu b'shas kasoi shal Hakadosh Baruch Hu." Even when Hashem is angry, who zoicher at tzaddikim, he still remembers the tzaddikim and saves not only them but other people in their schus. Dichtiv, "Vayhi b'shachas elikim as orei akikor." As the pasuk says, when Hashem destroyed the cities of the plain, "Vayizkor elikim as Avraham b'goyim," and then Hashem remembered Avraham and saved Lot. We said v'chaymas yericha shenivla. If you see the wall of Yericho that sank into the ground, so the Gemara asks v'chaymas yericha nivla. What do you mean it sank into the ground? V'hanafla. Doesn't the pasuk say that it fell down? Dichtiv v'tipa l'chayma tachteha. It says the wall fell down in its place. The answer is kiven de pusya v'ruma ki adodi ninu, because the height and the thickness of the wall were the same. It was a very thick wall. So Mishumahachi, Ivla Belui, therefore it sank into the ground, because in other words, Rashi says, otherwise, since it's as thick as it is wide, if it fell down, you wouldn't notice that there was anything different. So therefore it had to sink into the ground in order that the nest should be noticed, it should be noticeable. But that can be described in the pasuk as the wall falling down, in the sense that it fell down into a cavity in the ground. Also, Marsha adds, since the pasuk continues after it says that the wall fell, it says everybody was able to go straight into the city. They didn't need to go and find breaches in the wall to infiltrate or whatever. So that implies, if we're saying that, so that implies that none of them even had stone like this. When a wall falls down, usually you have heaps of rubble that you have to climb around in order to get where you're going. Here we're saying they didn't need that. They were able to just walk straight in. So that's the point. In other words, it sank into the ground. So therefore, there's no rubble for them to have to climb over. They're able to just walk straight in, and the city is theirs. The Gemara goes on. Amar of Yehuda Amar Rab, Arba'at Tzrichin Lahoydus. We were talking about that a person has to make a bracha for a place where a nest happened to him. But in addition, we also have that when a person has been saved from a dangerous situation, he has to thank Hashem with Birkas HaGoyim. The Elohim, the four are Yerdei Hayam, a person who travels through the sea, Vahochei Midbaros, people who walk through the desert, Umisha Yecholav V'Nisrapei, a person who was sick and recovered, Umisha Yechobosh V'Veis Hasurim V'Yatza, and a person who was in jail and then was released. There's a lot of discussion in the poskim about the ins and outs of a lot of these things. For example, in particular, does this apply even if the trip was otherwise uneventful? Most of the Rishonim say yes. Just the fact that you're going in the Yam for itself is considered a dangerous situation, even if that particular trip was uneventful. We have the poskim achronim talk about making a bracha when you're flying in a plane over the water, and the minhag ha'olam is that you do. You have famously the Rogatchev said about tefillas haderech that you don't do it on a plane flight because he said derech neshe ikri derech stamalo ikri, based on a Gemara in Chulin that the path of a bird or a plane in the sky is not called a derech. So how can you say tefillas haderech on it? But benchin goimel is something else. The consensus, the minhag ha'olam, is that you do say a bracha for a flight for an overseas flight, but not the kind, let's say, where it's just more or less hugging the coast. Like if you're flying between here and Florida, usually in people in general are known to say it only for an actual transatlantic or trans-Pacific flight. Anyway, Hochemid Boris, you actually have, in Shulchan Aruch, it mentions two opinions of Rishonim. Would it apply only when you're traveling through the Midbar, or would it apply to any kind of trip between cities? So it brings over there in Shulchan Aruch from Sfardish Rishonim, who held Kol Adrochim Bechezka Sakona, all roads have a chazaka being dangerous. Therefore, it's not just if you're traveling through the Midbar. That's just a typical example that's mentioned in Kapitel Kuf Zayin. It would apply to any intercity travel. Ashkenazic poskim, on the other hand, hold that it's taka only when you're traveling through the desert, and that's how so even nowadays you have a difference between Sfardim and Ashkenazim in that. With that said, though, when you're traveling by car or by train or what have you, then in general, the consensus of poskim is not to make the bracha on that. The Rav Chaim Noah, for example, deals with if a person's traveling, let's say, in Eretz Yisrael from Eilat to Yerushalayim or something is passing through the Negev desert, you don't make the bracha on that because, yes, you're passing through a desert, but it's still, objectively, you're not really in much danger when you're on a train. No more so than you are on a train ride anywhere else. I was actually asking Rabbi Ozdeva about this morning. Taka, why is it that we say that we bench goimel for a flight over water, but not for a flight over a desert? And basically, the idea is because when you're flying over water itself, in and of itself, crossing the water is inherently dangerous, and therefore, so now when air travel developed, then the posts configured that it's similar enough, as opposed what. In a way, it's safer or fine, but inherently traveling over water is more dangerous than traveling over land. And therefore, when air travel came in, then the poskim ended up agreeing that the same thing will apply to air travel over it, as opposed to with a midbar, we're saying it's primarily only when you're walking through it rather than when you're driving through it or taking a train through it. So therefore, with air travel also, it ended up being that way. So again, there's some discussion what degree of sickness are we talking about. The Alter Rebbe summarizes in Hilchos Birkas Hananin that if a person was sick in bed for three or more days, then that warrants hagoimel. And the Chobosh Beveis HaAsurim, they talk about would that apply only if it was a possibility of Dinei Nefoshes? Would it also apply if he was arrested for Dinei Mominus? Does it apply to prisons nowadays where in principle a person is not in as much danger as he was in the old days? Although on the other hand, when you consider the gangs and whatnot in prison, maybe he is. So there's a good deal of discussion among the poskim about the ins and outs of each of these things. So now the Gemara is going to bring the psukim from Kapitel Kuf Zayin that discuss these four. By the way, the order that we have, the order that the Gemara mentioned them over here, is different than the order that they are in the psukim. In the psukim, you have first the person who crosses the midbar, then the person who's in jail. Then the person who's sick, and finally the one who travels in a boat. Whereas here in the Gemara, we're doing the order, we're putting the Yode Hayam first, and then the Hochemid Boris, and so forth. So why is that? Tosfos says the Gemara is listing them in the order in which they happen more commonly, whereas the Psukim are The psukim are listing the ones that are more dangerous first, whereas the Gemara is listing the ones that are more common first. Then there's an explanation from the Gaonim that the Aruch brings, and Nach Yosef quotes it, where it's actually the other way around. The Rabbi Gaon learned that the psukim are going just the opposite. The psukim are going according to what's more common. It's much more common that people travel on the road or through the desert than that they travel over water. And then, meanwhile, the Gemara is listing the ones that are more dangerous first. So they're pretty much the opposite of the way Tosfos explains it. Marsha goes into a very long explanation over here, where actually in the course of this explanation, he ends up darshaning a substantial part of Kapitel Kuf Zayin. We say it every Erev Shabbos. It's worthwhile to delve in a little bit into the deeper meaning of the kapitel. So maybe Taka, it's worth taking out a tillim or a siddur and following along the psukim and see how Marsha darshins them. But I guess let's first go in the Gemara quoting the psukim, and then we can go through the Marsha's derasha. So Yodeh Yom Menolon, where do we see that people who travel overseas have to bench goyim? Well, Yodeh Yom Bani Yisrael goyim. The pasuk says the ones who go down to the sea in ships, Hemaro Masi Hashem goyim. They saw the works of Hashem. Vayomer Vayamid Ruach Sora. Then Hashem spoke, and all of a sudden a storm wind blew up. Yalo Shemayim Yodeh Sahomis. They go up to the heavens and down to the depths, meaning their ship is being tossed to and fro. They reel and they stagger. They cried out to Hashem when they were in distress. And Hashem took them out of their difficult situation. They were happy that things calmed down. And they should thank Hashem for his chesed. So there we see that a person who went through that kind of experience needs to bench goyim. Where's the ones who travel through the desert? Earlier in the capital, Toba Midbar Goyma, they wandered in the desert. They're hungry, they're thirsty. They cried out to Hashem. Hashem led them on the straight path. And so they thank Hashem. Where do we see that a person was sick and was healed? How do we see that he has to bench goyim? Dichtiv in that same capital, avilim miderach pesha goyim. The ones who are foolish because going in the way of their pesha, of deliberate rebellion against Hashem, so they become sick. Kol oichop asayv nafshem goyim. Their soul, nefesh in Tanakh often means rotzen. So their rotzen thinks all kinds of food is disgusting. Yeah, sometimes a person is very sick. They can't stand even the sight of food. They cry out to Hashem. Hashem sends his word and heals them. And they thank Hashem for his chesed. And the Yotzim and Nolan, where do we see a person was in jail and got out safely? The ones who were sitting in darkness and deep gloom, because they disobeyed the words of Hashem. Vayachna ba'omal libam. Hashem humbled their heart with hard labor. Vayizaku al Hashem b'gemer. They cry out to Hashem. Yetziyim mechoshech tzamavis. Hashem took them out of darkness and gloom. Yodol Hashem chaste b'gemer. So they thank Hashem for his chesed. So all four of them are mentioned in that capital. There's a famous thing, by the way, that it says that we say in davening, b'chol ha'chayim yudu chasela. Chayim is an acronym for these four. Chavush. Yisurim, where he suffered Yisurim from his sickness. Yam, where he crossed the ocean, and Midbar. The Alter Rebbe actually in the Siddurs has it slightly differently. Chola Yam Yisurim Midbar. So according to that, the word Chaim represents the four of them, right? So the Alter Rebbe in the Siddur says it a little bit differently. That the Ches stands for Chola, and the other ones are Yam Yisurim and Midbar. Yeah. Anyway. By the way, there is also a machlokas aposkim. Is it only these four, or what about other situations? What if a person was in a car accident, for example, and then got out of it safely? What happens if a person was attacked by bandits and was rescued, etc.? So there are poskim who say that no, it's only these four that we're mentioning over here, no others. The most poskim said both opinions are brought in Shulchan Aruch, but that the most opinions say that no, it's any other ones that are similar, any other case where a person was saved from something mederech nes. So now you wouldn't have, let's say, for example, they talk about if, let's say, a person wasn't in an accident, or a person was in a new accident, let's say, that doesn't warrant benching goyim. But if he was in an actual accident, then that would warrant benching goyim. So now Marsha goes through to tackle why among other things, these four, and in particular, well, how does the capital begin? Yoimru Geula Hashem, those who were redeemed by Hashem should say, Asher Geula Miyad Sur, that Hashem redeemed them from the enemy. Not all these things have to do with an enemy. When you're crossing the desert or when you're crossing the sea, there's no enemy involved. So the expression should be Asher Geula Mitzara. Another question he asks is, why is it only by the one who was sick does it say in the pasuk v'yizbechu zivchei soda that they should bring a korban toda? Why doesn't it mention it by any of the other ones? So he has a couple of questions. So he goes through and darshins like this. Bichlal, you have four different kinds of things that will prevent a person from reaching the shleimus, from reaching the perfection that he should in his relationship with the Eibishter. Number one can be a person who doesn't have enough for parnasa, so he has to go everywhere in order to make a dollar. The second one would be where where goyim are subjugating him, preventing him from being able to learn Torah and do mitzvahs. The third is a person who is sick, and the fourth is a person who just the opposite of the first one. Really, he's too rich, and therefore, marben achosim, marben da'aga. Now he's too much involved with his taking care of his wealth and his riches to be able to concentrate on learning Torah. Now, all of those things apply to us Jewish people, particularly in Golos. So, which is why, so you have four things. That's why we have four kosis. That's why we have four kosis that we drink on Pesach. We have the four kosis that the Sana Mashkim saw in his dream and so forth, because we were saved from all those four tzaris. So now what we're saying is, Asher Ga'olam Miyad Tzor, all of these things, yes, not all of them directly involved Goyim harassing us, but all of them occur during Golos when we're subjugated by the Goyim. So that explains that. So we start out like this. Hodu Lashem ki tov ki lo'olam chastoi. Now the Gemara elsewhere explains that in Megillah that when the goyim are being punished and destroyed, it's inappropriate to say ki tov on it. The Gemara brings there from a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. At one point, a coalition of goyim attacked Eretz Yisrael, and then they were defeated by Hashem, the Derech Nes. So the pasuk says that the Levim and the Jewish people, the rest of the Jewish people, were singing Hodu Lashem Ki Lo'olam Chastoi, leaving out the words Ki Tov. Why? Because Hashem is not happy when the Rishayim have to be punished and destroyed. So here, what happens is we're saying Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Ki Lo'olam Chastoi. We're not thanking Hashem that the Goyim are being punished and destroyed. We're thanking Hashem Yomer Geulei Hashem that Hashem redeemed us from the Golos. And from all the other things, from all these various things that happened during the time of Golos, represents that Hashem saved us from all the various Dalad Malchus. So where are the Dalad Malchus located? Let's consider. Bavel is north of Eretz Yisrael. Paras and Madai are to the east of it. Yavon and Edom, the Greeks and the Romans, are located west of Eretz Yisrael. There's none of the four Malchias that controlled that ruled over the Jewish people during the time of Golos are south of Eretz Yisrael. What is the one that's south is Mitzrayim, but that's already in the past. So therefore, you notice in the pasuk you have in pasuk Gimel or Me'arotz Kibzam mi Mizrach or mi Ma'irav mitzafon or mi Yam. Let's consider what that means: from the east and from the west, from the north and from the west. What happened to the south? Says that's why, because of the Dalad Malchias, none of them are south of Eretz Yisrael. So we're thanking Hashem that he took us out of Mitzrayim, but then more so, we're thanking Hashem that he took us out of the later Golias, none of which is south of Eretz Yisrael. All of them are in other directions. What? So in other words, Mitzrayim is something in the past. What we're talking about, that when David wrote this capital, Mitzrayim was already in the past. And okay, Kol HaMalchis Nekroim HaShem Mitzrayim, as the Medrash says, but nevertheless, the future Goliaths of the Goliaths of the Jewish people that at that point lay in the future are all in the other directions, none of them to the south. Therefore, in the pasuk, he doesn't mention south. However, though, it's true that the capital as a whole starts with the Geula from Mitzrayim, which is when these four things were taken away and were able to receive the Torah. So there's a similar idea. Well, so there is an idea actually that we often find that Hashem doesn't allow the same nation to dominate the Jewish people multiple times. Every time you have one nation that has their time in the sun and their time to overpower the Jewish people, and then they're finished off and another one comes instead. Yeah. I guess that relates to that. Yeah. Anyway, so then Marsha continues. So now, So what happens? So when they left Mitzrayim, the main problem that was preventing them from being able to connect to Hashem on the highest level was that they didn't have the first root, Marashah said before, a person who lacks parnasa. So in this case, it's represented by they're traveling through the desert. They're on their way. They're trying to find a settled land, which is Eretz Yisrael, and they're still far away from it. Why Dafka on Erev Shabbos? So the Baal Shem Tev is the one who introduced saying it on Erev Shabbos, the idea being that we're thanking Hashem that we got through the week safely, Beruchnius, that we didn't trip up, at least not too much, on the various Menias V'Kovim that beset us during the week. Which is why we don't say it. By the way, when Yom Tov is on Erev Shabbos, because for the same reason that we don't say most of Kabbalah's Shabbos at that point, because then already you have Yom Tov going into Shabbos, so you don't really have you didn't really have the same degree of tzoris besetting you all week that you have to thank Hashem to say that you saved from you. Okay, so he continues. So what happened? So Re'evim Gam Tzmeim, they were hungry, they were thirsty. We know the Gemara tells us in Erchin, there were two times in the Midbar that they sinned against Hashem by complaining that they don't have water. Two times they complained about the slav, two times about the mon. So that's the Re'evim Gam Tzmeim. And they cried out to Hashem. And what did Hashem do? And Hashem gave them the mon and the slav and the well of Miriam. By Yadrich and Bederech Yishara, Hashem showed them the straight road to be able to get into Eretz Yisrael. So that's the first situation over here. And for that, Yodol Hashem Chastor. So really, in other words, the idea is, it's not that the Jewish people deserved to be brought into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe tells them, in fact, in Parashas Ekev, Loi B'tzit Koscho V'yoshel Vavacha, don't think it's such a, because you're such great tzaddikim, that you're getting to go into Eretz Yisrael. It's because of Hashem's Chassid. So therefore, in keeping with that, then we say, when we bench Goymel, we say, Baruch HaGoymel Chayovim Tovus, that we recognize, in other words, we are Chayovim, really, we don't deserve Hashem's Rachmanos, but nevertheless, Hashem did a chesed for us, and Hashem did for us a Tov. By the way, there's a couple of Maimonim that begin, Baruch HaGoymel Chayovim Tovus, which the Frida Kadeva delivered after he was released from Kastraba and Tafresh Pezayin. In both of them, he shtels on the words of the Baruchah. Why do we say Shagmalani Tov? As opposed to, for example, in the Birkas HaNissim, you say Baruch Sha'asali Nes. So why don't we say over here, Baruch HaGoymel Chayov Nissim, or something like that. So in the first one, he explains that Toy, in both of them, really, he explains that Toiv means Torah. So it means, in other words, a Yid. So in the first one, he explains, and the Nekuda is that after a Yid has gone through such an experience, he should be rededicating himself more strongly to the Toiv of Torah. And in the second one, he focuses on the point that we say, HaGoymel Chayovim Tovus. The word Chayovim, we usually translate it means the guilty ones, but it also means, in other words, Chayev, as in Pashut, I have a responsibility. I am Chayev to now work on becoming closer to the Eibishter with Torah and Mitzvahs. So HaGoymel Chayovim Tovus, that Hashem gave me, that I am Chayev to be now closer to Hashem, and Hashem gave me Tov, the ability to come close to him through Torah. Anyway, so that's the first one. And then the Nifla'os of Livnei Adam, that we could, relative to Hashem, even all these great Nisim that we're talking about, relative to Hashem, are nothing, because Hashem is Kol Yachol. But relative to us, the Bnei Adam, we consider them great things and we have to talk about them. So that's all the first part of the capital. That's about the Hocha Midbar. Next you have, and Kis Bia Nefesh Kekev, Nefesh Re'eva Milei Tov, that Hashem gave us houses full of all the good of Eretz Yisrael and so on and so forth, as Moshe describes, as Moshe describes to them in Parashas Ekev. And so that's the end of the first part. So we're thanking Hashem that we crossed the Midbar out of Mitzrayim safely and came to Eretz Yisrael, where Hashem gave us all the bounty of Eretz Yisrael. Next, you have Yosrei Choshech HaZamavis. Now you're talking about the second group of people who are unable to serve the Eibishter properly because of the Goyim are harassing them, which also we went through in Mitzrayim. The Goyim were persecuting us and enslaving us. And when we were in darkness over there, Yosrei Choshech HaZamavis, the Choshech of the Avodas Perach, and the Tzamavis of having the children thrown into the Nile. Asirei Onu Uvarzo, and we're chained up in pain and in iron. Mitzrayim itself is compared in the Pasuk to an iron furnace where you smelt gold in order to purify it. Kihimru Imer Keil, they disobeyed the words of Hashem. There were, in fact, many people in Mitzrayim who were doing Averis. Pesel Micha, he gives as an example. There's lots of examples that Rambam actually writes in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. At the beginning, he goes through the whole historical overview from Avram, from Bria's Olam until Yitzias Mitzrayim, how knowledge of the Eibishter developed in the world. And he mentions that during the time the Jewish people were in Mitzrayim, the whole knowledge of the Eibishter in the world almost went extinct. Only Shevet Levi held on to it. So that's the Kihimru Imrekel by Yachna Ba'omal. So sure enough, Hashem subjugated them and humiliated them with hard work, the Avodas Perach. Koshlu Ve'in Ozer, they're stumbling and there's nobody to help them. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, who's supposed to be their champion, has to run away. By Yizaku El Hashem, they screamed out to Hashem, as the pasuk says, Vatal Shavosem. And sure enough, Yodav Hashem Chaste, we thank Hashem for that he saved us from Mitzrayim. Kishiba Dalsis Mechoshes, Hashem broke down the iron and copper doors of Mitzrayim, as you have the Lashon and the Medrash that no slave was ever able to escape from Mitzrayim. And all of a sudden, you have the whole nation of millions is getting out of there. So now we have, so those represent, Marashah says, so far we have what's represented also by the first two koises in the Haggad, in the Seder. Now we come to the third one, he says. Evilim Miderach Pisham is when a person, we said, the Marashah said, the third group of people who are not able to serve the Eibishter properly is a person who is sick and weak. And is not, and like the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deis, that it's important for the body to be healthy because you can't serve the Eibishter properly when you're sick or weak. So now what happens is, Avilim Miderach Pisham, so they had, in Golos Mitzrayim, they also suffered from illnesses. We find in Moro, right after Kriyas Yamsuf, the Eibishter tells them, all the sicknesses that I placed on Mitzrayim, I won't place on you. Rashi mentions on the Pasuk over there, they had good reason to be afraid of all those epidemics and illnesses that they had suffered here and there throughout the time in Mitzrayim. The Pasuk uses the expression Miderach Pisham from their Pesha, from their rebelliousness against the Eibishter. So in other words, you have the Marashah refers to a Gemara in Yuma that says that when a person deliberately rebels against Hashem, then such averas are usually cleaned up only by a person dying. The Gemara mentions over there in particular Chilul Hashem that even Tshuva and Yom Kippur and Yisurim don't help from that. It means the person has to partially leave the world. So now, but instead, the Eibishter allowed them to clean it up through Yisurim. So now you have this person. So now what the Eibishter does is he sort of downgrades it. Miderach Pisham, they're going in a way of deliberate rebellion against Hashem. Hashem has Rachmanus and treats it just as an oven, as a deliberate but not rebellious oven. Where therefore the punishment is not as severe, Yisurim is enough for that. So therefore, Mame Seim Yisanu, so therefore they're afflicted with Yisurim, with suffering. And even when he continues, now the next pasuk continues, Kol Eichel Pesayiv Nafsham, their soul is unable to tolerate any food. Meaning, so what happens? You have Posh, a sick person, he's not eating, not because he's fasting for Tshuva, but Posh because he doesn't have an appetite. Nevertheless, the Eibishter counts it to his credit as though he fasted for Tshuva. That's the Kol Eichel Pesayiv Nafsham. So Vayagiru at Share Moves means that Rishoyim, the Gemara tells us that Rishoyim Gmurim don't even do tshuva when they're by the gates of Gehenna. This kind of person is not like that. He reaches Share Moves, he realizes what he's done wrong, and by Yizaku El Hashem. And then he cries out to the Eibishter, and the Eibishter overturns the Gzar Din. So Yishlach Gorev Yepoim, Hashem sends his word and heals them, meaning all you need is the Eibishter's word. We know that with human doctors, you have all kinds of difficult treatments a person has to go through, but the Eibishter heals a person, all he needs is his word. And then, Yodol Hashem Chaste, now, for the first time, it mentions the concept of a Yizbuch Huziv Chesoy. Why? Marashah says, because, like this, if it hadn't been for the Yisurim, by rights, he should have had to bring a Chatas or an Oshem for the Aveda that he did. Now that that was cleaned up through Yisurim, all he has to bring is a Korban Toda to thank the Eibishter for saving him from dying from this illness. That is why here the Pasuk stresses the point of the Yizbuch Huziv Chesoda, because in other words, he doesn't have to bring any other Korban anymore. Now we come to the fourth group, Yodaham Banius. Why would a person travel on a boat? So in those times, people didn't travel for pleasure. If you're traveling on a ship, it means because you want to earn more money that you can by international trade. So therefore, so now we're up to the fourth group where you have a person has a lot of money and they're deeply concerned about that. Mabe nechosim, mabe daga, and therefore they're risking themselves going on ships to travel to other places to earn more money. So Heimaro Masi Hashem. So just like in Mitzrayim by Kriyas Yamsuf, we saw the works of Hashem. The Yodei Hayom also are able to more clearly see the Masi Hashem, the sun, the moon, the stars. You're able to see them much more clearly when you're on the water. When you flow sub Mitzula, they're also able to see the wonders of Hashem in the depths here on earth. So what happens? Vayomer Hashem says, Vayamid Ruach Sora, all of a sudden a storm wind blows up, Vatiroimim Galov, Yalushim, and it lifts up the waves, Yalushamayim Yodusahomis, they go up and down to the heavens and to the depths. Meaning, in other words, that so Marashah says metaphorically, what we mean is a person in that situation may start thinking to himself, you know what, I should have the ability to understand Malam Milo Malamata. What is above the heavens, what is below the earth, which the Gemara tells us in the Chagiga, you're not allowed to contemplate such things because the human brain can't possibly understand it. So that's the Yalo Shemaim, Yehudah Sahoimus, as the person goes through thinking that he can do that. Instead, nafshim b'ras ismoigav. Instead, their nefesh is melting away with the bad situation that's in, and yachoigav yanu kashikar. They're reeling around. V'chochoch masam tisbala. All their chochma is swallowed up, meaning they finally realize you can't possibly understand such things. Those kinds of things, malamaila malamata, are beyond the human brain to understand. So then by Yitzhakar al Hashem, they cry out to Hashem. In fact, we find in the Gemara in Kedushin that sailors are typically Hasidim because they were always exposed to such danger. They realize how much they depend on the Eibishter. So now the passenger on the boat realizes the same kind of thing. So eventually then, so Yokim Sa'ar al-Dumama, Hashem makes the storm itself calm down. And Yokim means, in other words, that Hashem, Marsha explains, it means that the storm itself that caused the waves to rise up, now Hashem stands up that same Ruach Sa'ar that it makes the waves calm down. We find always that the Eibishter heals with the same thing that he wounds with. We always find that the Eibishter uses the same means that was the cause of the disaster. That same thing is the cause of the healing and the good thing. So then Yodel Hashem Chastoy. So then they thank Hashem, and that's the fourth group, and that's the fourth curse. And he goes on to explain also certain other details in it. Why is it that besides that we said why the order is different, and also why some of them, when the Gemara lists them over here, we said two of them are in past tense. Misha hoya cholav nesnape and misha hoya chobish beis hasurim. On the other hand, the other two, Yodei Hayom and Hochem and Baris, are just written as people who go in the sea and people who go in the midbar. Why is he not? Why are those not in Lashon? Why are two of them in Lashon Over and two of them not? So he explains that because two of them are more about the past, about what happened right after they came out of Mitzrayim, and the other two are more longer term things. So that explains the Lashon of the Gemara on it. So the Gemara says, "My mevorach." Now getting back to the Gemara, "My mevorach." So what is the actual nusach of the bracha? Rav Yehuda, "Baruch goyim alachayavim tovis shugmalani kol tov," or different gears of chasodim tov. But Amr Abaye, "Tzorich lo iduya kame asara." Abaye says, when you're thanking Hashem with birchas goyim, you have to do it in front of 10 people. Dichtiv, as the pasuk continues in that same capital, v'yirei muhu b'kal om. They should elevate Hashem in the congregation of the people. A kohol means 10. Marzutra, amo train minayu rabbanon. Marzutra says you also have to have that of the 10, two of them should be chacham. Dichtiv, v'v moshev skenim yahaluhu. The pasuk continues that they'll praise Hashem in the place where the skenim are sitting, and we know that zokin is zesh akon chachma tamen chach. So the Gemara says, "Maski for Rav Ashi." So Rav Ashi asks on that. In that case, how do you know that it means of the 10, two have to be chachamim? The aim of Asara Ukulu Rabbanon. Maybe all 10 of them have to be chachamim. Maybe it means that all 10, the kohol, has to be b'moshev zkenim. The Gemara says, "Why? Miksib b'kal zkenim b'kal omksib." It just says in the congregation of the people. So any Jewish people, any 10, are a place where the Shechina rests, and therefore that's enough. But then you have among them, there should be b'moshev zkenim, so therefore you should have two zkenim over there. And Marsha goes on to explain that the Lashon, that v'yirei m'muhu, is something that everybody can recognize the greatness of Hashem. On the other hand, halel is something that only the yichidus segula can appreciate, therefore you have b'moshev zkenim yahalelu. But the Gemara asks, v'eima ba'asara Shar Amma over Train Rabbanon. Maybe it means you need 10 plus two. Maybe you need 10 regular people plus two Chachamim. So the Gemara says, Kasha, you're right. That would be a Kasha. We don't have a good answer for that. It's not a Tziuvta, but it is a Kasha. So there are, in fact, there are Rishonim who say on the basis of that, Tur mentions, for example, that on the basis of that, you should try to have 10 regular people plus two Chachamim. Most of the other posts can disagree and say that, after all, we could go with what we said originally, 10 among whom are two Tamina Chachamim. In Shulchan Aruch, it says, the Alter Rebbe brings it in Hilchos Birkas Hananin and Seder Birkas Hananin, that all the same, if you don't have two Tamina Chachamim over there, you should still bench Goimel anyway. Don't avoid benching Goimel just because of that. And also, that if you also, the post can talk about what happens if you did say it with less than 10 people around. So there's a machlokas, whether you were Yotzer or not. So therefore, the halacha is then that what you do is you say it again in the presence of a minion without shame or malchus. But you need 10 people, right? Okay. When the Geula comes, all the Jewish people will return to Eretz Yisrael together with all the shuls and Bate Medrash and places of Milas Chasadim, with all the Sfarim and all the Kisvei Yad that are currently in Chutz Laaretz, beginning from the Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash of the Friedrich Rebbe and of our Rebbe, Nesidei Reinu, which we're in right now, as they were when the Rebbe was delivering the Sicha, the Beis Rabbeinu Shebabavel. And the same thing also will go with all the individual houses of every single Jew, which became houses of Torah, Tefillah, and Milas Chasadim, and will also have, together with us, Kaspam was a Havamitam, the silver and the gold together with a tremendous ribuy, and all go to Artsein Rakdosha, to Yushalayim Irakodesh, and to the base of Mikdash Ashlish. Miyad Mamash. Halacha, we're in the middle of the halachas of Bracha Achrona. We talked about previously that you have to eat a kezias to be chayiv in Birkas HaMazon. So if you ate a half kezias and then a while later you ate another half kezias, so then it depends if the break between was less than kedei achilas pras, then it counts and you make a bracha achrona. If it's more than kedei achilas pras, then they wouldn't count. What kedei achilas pras is, you have any number of opinions among the poskim, anywhere between 2 and 11 minutes. The Tzemach Tzedek says 6 or 7 minutes, but there's other opinions. When it comes to drinking, even if the break was less than that, they're not mitzvah. On the other hand, the Alter Rebbe holds that with drinking also, the shiur is kedei achilas pras. One thing that the poskim talk about is if you're drinking tea or coffee, where you sip it only slowly, would you in fact make a bracha achrona on it, given that the time from the beginning to the end of the cup may often be more than kedei achilas pras. According to the Alter Rebbe's shita, it seems it wouldn't be a problem because you don't stop for as long as kedei achilas pras from between one sip and the next.